We stand together for the reading of God's holy word and turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Exodus 14. All right, look there at verse 15. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel that they go forward? But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea.
Thank you, Brother Chandler. I had another message that I was going to preach this evening. But in my Bible reading this week, one of the verses we read tonight stood out in my mind and has been on my mind and heart ever since. I hesitated to preach on it again because just a few weeks ago when I preached from Isaiah 43, I discussed the same event. And I'm always reminded of the new preacher that was hired by the church. And the first Sunday he preached a pretty good sermon. Second Sunday he preached the exact same sermon. Third Sunday he preached the sermon again. And by the fourth Sunday, finally the deacons asked him, said, Preacher, we like your sermon and your preaching, but don't you have any other sermons? And the preacher said, Yes, I have several, and as soon as you start practicing this one, I'll move on to the next one. And my sermons almost always start out as notes that I write down in a notepad as I read my Bible. And just to tell you a little funny story about myself, one year I had written some notes down in a notepad, prepared a whole sermon on it, preached it, and later on that same year I was looking for a sermon outline and pulled out that same notebook. Saw the same notes that I'd scribbled down in my study, so that'd be a good sermon. Wrote out the exact same sermon again. 7-8 pages. Same point, same title, same text. And preached it again within a year of preaching it the first time. And no one noticed. At least no one said anything about it. So I just figured someone needed it both times. But this is a different message from the same event. And these thoughts kept coming back to my mind. In fact, late last night, I wrote out tonight's message. Our passage, of course, describes the exodus of Israel from Egypt. They had come to the border of the Red Sea, but had not yet crossed. If you have your Bibles open, it's interesting to see how God led them into an impossible situation. Notice in Exodus 13 and verse number 18. Exodus 13 and verse 18. The Bible says, But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Verse 21, it says, The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. And in chapter 14, verse 1, it says, The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before, hard name, between Migdol and the sea. Over against another hard name, before ye shall encamp by the sea. Isn't it interesting that God did not take them the fastest way out of town, but rather led them about through the wilderness and finally brought them up to this wilderness area where they had an area of rough terrain on one side, the Red Sea on the other. And you wonder, why did God bring them to this point? Well, in verse number 3, chapter 14, verse 3, it says, For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host. And the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. So why did God bring, instead of hastening them out and getting them quickly towards Canaan, why did God lead them about and then camp them in this wilderness area by the Red Sea? The reason he did so was to bait Pharaoh into pursuing. He said, I know that Pharaoh's heart is hard. He will pursue after them. Instead of getting them quickly out, I'll stop them right here and I'll leave them there until Pharaoh comes so that I can be honored upon Pharaoh. Aren't you glad God's always in control? Aren't you glad God always has a plan? And so all they had to do is follow the Lord. But Israel looked back and they saw the dust of the chariots in verse number 10. It says, When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Now, they weren't saying that yesterday. That's not when they said when they were spoiling the Egyptians. That's not when they said when they're putting on jewelry and nice clothes and loading their animals down with lots of nice new furniture and new tents and new items and spoiling the Egyptians. But boy, now that things have changed all of a sudden. Moses, why? There were no graveyards in Egypt. You had to bring us out here to let us get killed. Verse number 13, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. And he tried to comfort them. But as we discussed, notice in verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? And so, as we discussed before, Moses came to the people. He said, listen, God's going to fight for us. Don't worry about it. Be still. Be at peace. And then he comes back over here to the Lord and says, why are you brought us into this situation? And God has to tell him to stop crying about it. And then he says, and this is our text, he said, speaking of the children of Israel, that they go forward. And those two words are what I want us to focus on tonight. This divine directive to go forward. What do you do when you don't know what to do, but you know you're in the will of God? What do you do when you don't know what to do, but you know you're in the will of God? Israel was definitely in God's will, weren't they? It was obvious to them. Wouldn't it be easy for us if all we had to do is get up every morning and look out and see where the pillar of cloud is? If it's moving, you move. If it stays, you stay. Wouldn't it be nice if, I mean, they had Moses and all they do, and when they wanted to know God's will, they just had to go ask Moses. Moses would tell them. So they knew they were in the center of God's will. God had led them to this position. They could see the pillar of cloud by day. They could see the pillar of cloud, fire by night. They knew they were in God's will, and yet in the middle of God's will, they found themselves in an impossible situation. When you listen, what other options do they have? They could drown themselves. They could wait for Pharaoh. They could surrender. They could go back to Egypt. They could submit to their circumstances. Or they could go forward. Tonight I want to point out just a few thoughts on this. Notice number one, go forward by faith. Go forward by faith. When you don't know what to do, but you know you're in the will of God, go forward by faith. They had followed Him this far. Hey, listen. Hadn't God just brought them out of the iron furnace? Hadn't God just broken the back of the superpower of their time, Egypt? Hadn't He poured out plague after plague after plague after plague until Egypt said, get out, leave, we don't want you here, take our stuff, go! God had shown Himself mighty on their behalf, and if He had done all of that, and He's led me to this point in the wilderness, Why should I now stop going forward just because things suddenly look tough? You know, it's a strange paradox of the experimental Christian life. Now, I don't mean experimenting being a Christian. I mean that there's things we know from the Word of God and there's things we know by experience. Isn't that true? And so, you know, as a Christian, the longer you live for the Lord, the more experience you get in God's blessings. Is that accurate? Sure. You know, God saved me 25 years ago. Now, it's no record. I know that. But I also wasn't born again yesterday. You know. And I can look back over a quarter century and see how God began working in my life when I was 15 years old and how God has worked in my life ever since. And simply by striving to walk with God and to do His will for my life, and yet, and to see how He blessed me in this area and this area and provided for me there and did this in my life and that in my life. And I suddenly now come to a Red Sea experience. Am I going to stop and say, oh, God has left? Or should I simply go forward by faith and trust God to supply? Where's our faith? Sometimes as we get older, we go from risk takers to caretakers. Isn't this something, why I said this is a paradox, when I was a young Christian, just been saved for a couple of years, I wasn't scared of nothing. And preachers say, go to Bible college, okay. Someone asked me, how are you going to pay for it? I said, I don't know. Preacher said, go to Bible college. And how do you, there was just no fear. And isn't it something, though, as we get older, even though we have more experience now and we've seen God do more things, as we get older, sometimes we have less faith that God will provide for us. And so, when we know we're in the will of God for our life, and we know that God has blessed us and provided for us, we should not go back, but rather continue to go forward by faith, trusting that where we cannot see a way, God can make a way. Number two, go forward with purpose. Go forward with purpose. Israel ended up wandering for 40 years because they would not live by faith. If they lived by faith, they would have lived with purpose. What was God's purpose for bringing them out of Egypt? To bring them into Canaan, right? So why did they spend 40 years wandering around a few miles away from Canaan? Because they had no faith and they had no purpose. When you live on purpose, you find a way to go forward. It's a sad thing for a Christian to spend his or her life wandering around with no purpose beyond getting another paycheck, eating another meal, getting through another week, playing another video game, getting another item in their house, putting more in their storage shed. It's a sad thing when we lose our purpose in life and spend our whole Christian life wandering instead of going forward with purpose. Look at all the great achievements of mankind. The Hoover Dam, Panama Canal. Look at the things that men have built, and behind all of those things was a man or a woman or a committee that would not stop because things got hard. They were had a purpose, and they lived by that purpose, and they lived by a plan, and they went forward. Should we do less as God's people than the world does in their attempts to do things? I say not. Live with purpose. Back in October of 2013, Brother Absher and I sat down at Arby's and with a notepad and began writing down plans for the beginning of Providence Baptist Church. I just got back from vacation and 10 people dropped out of the church. So what do? You start another church, right? And we sat down and we wrote out some things. I said, well, we need to pick a name. He said, Providence Baptist Church. I said, okay, you already got it planned. Providence Baptist Church. I said, we need to set a schedule. I said, how about a 2-year plan? It'll give us time for you to settle some things, get your family moved, church save up money, get ready to get started. Start a 2-year plan. And I told Brother Absher then, and I've said it again since, if we're going to do this, it can't be yea and nay. It's got to be in Him, yea and amen. You say, what do you mean? If we're going to do this, it's got to be a commitment. We can't say, well, I might do this, we might get around. It's got to be not yea and nay, wishy-washy. It's got to be yea and amen. We've got to commit to it and see it through. Because I try not to start things if I'm not going to see it through. And, you know, if you're going to do things for God, you've got to do things with a purpose. Now, the years sometimes have ground down. And Brother and Mrs. Absher trying to raise support. That's all part of the plan. We have to work the plan. Just keep working the plan, working the plan. Why? Because we're trying to live on purpose. And if you're going to do anything in your life, you've got to have purpose, enough purpose to go forward and to do something for the Lord Jesus. Number three, go forward one step at a time. One step at a time. There are no shortcuts in God's will. You have to take it one step at a time. Now, one of my greatest flaws, I only have two. One of my greatest qualities is humility, but one of my greatest flaws is patience. And boy, I want things done fast. And what the Lord has had to teach me is that sometimes in His will, a lot of things go slow. You just have to take one step at a time. Let me tell you what happened down in Roy City. Mrs. Burkett's here tonight. And, you know, Brother Hampton getting hired as their pastor. And I'm just going to tell you this story because it's neat to me to see God's providence. Y'all believe in God's providence? You believe that God works things together according to His own will? I do. And it's neat every once in a while to have a part in it. Amen. But I remember when Brother Hampton showed up one Sunday night. He came to hear me preach. I've known him for 13 years. He said, I've never heard you preach. He showed up to hear me preach. I had a guest speaker. I told him, I said, you would have been disappointed anyway. But he said, well, I'm up here because I'm thinking about starting a church in the Roy City area. I said, great. When you decide something, let us know. We'll try to help out. Then I found out about Union Valley Baptist and needing a pastor and trying to make decisions and having a hard time. And Lord just put it on my heart. Why don't you try to get them together? So I just sent one email. And then Joe and I drove down to their church. And it was cold November day. We got out and we walked all the way around their acreage. Like 4 or 5 acres, something like that. Walked all the way around their property. And we prayed that God would put the right person in that church. And it took some time. And someone would say, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? I said, I don't know. I'm just taking one step. Brother Hampton's just taking one step. Brother Burkett's just taking one step. I'm just going to see what happens. Right? Doesn't always come together and fall in your lap with a nice gift wrap box, the ribbon on top, and you pull it open, and boom, there it is. Sometimes in life, in God's work, in your business, you don't know what's going to happen down the road, but you got to take one step, and you got to take one step, and you got to take one step. Sometimes but think, man, if I could just take a 6-foot step and get ahead. But you've got to take one step at a time. And you've got to be patient. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a trip to the restroom. How many times are y'all going to fall for that one? It begins with one step. And so, one step at a time. The process. You've got to go through the process. And here Israel, they didn't hop in a bus and go. They had to go forward one step, all the way down to the banks of the Red Sea. And I'm sure some of them were standing ankle deep or knee deep in the Red Sea when God parted the water. And so you got to go forward one step at a time. You might get impatient, but you've got to take the steps and just trust God. Number 4, go forward and stop complaining about it. Go forward and stop complaining about it. This group, they always followed the cloud, but they bellyached the whole way. Constantly complaining and griping and arguing and murmuring. Oh, but they're following, but they're complaining the whole time. Moses was mad at them. God got mad at them. They're mad at each other. If you're going to go forward in the will of God, at least go forward with your feet and not your mouth. And stop complaining all the time. Let me say this in passing as well, that one of the biggest reasons that families drop out of churches is because one person constantly complains about the church. It might be a teenage kid. It might be one of the spouses. One of the other spouse might be perfectly happy. The other kids might be perfectly happy. But constantly complaining until the other person loses heart and they end up dropping out to try to make someone happy. Now, everyone's going to complain sometimes. If you want to go home and complain about me, knock yourself out. I don't think if you complain about me tonight that she-bears are going to come tear you limb from limb. If they do, I'll preach your funeral. Amen. We all complain sometimes, and I deserve complaints sometimes. It doesn't hurt me for every once in a while if someone disagrees. I know that I'm wrong sometimes, so it doesn't hurt me when someone every once in a while disagrees. But if you're constantly complaining about the sermon, complaining about the church, complaining about this, complaining about that, that's a heart problem. And it's something that's going to affect you and it's going to affect your family and it might get your entire family out of the will of God for your lives. So go forward and stop complaining about it. Number 5, go forward and enjoy the adventure. Enjoy the adventure. God was doing amazing things. Folks, 3,500 years later, we're still talking about what they saw in person. What an amazing work God did is far better than sitting home in Egypt watching television by the flesh pot. What God was doing in their life. Life can be an adventure and serving God can be an adventure. The will of God can be an adventure. Hey, listen, don't think my life is boring as a preacher. I have boring parts of my life. Every adult has boring parts of their life. But man, God has allowed me to do some exciting things. And to go some places I never thought I'd go when God called me when I was 17 years old. And so life is an adventure, but you've got to go forward and enjoy the adventure of life. Number six, go forward and let God take care of what's behind you. Go forward and let God take care of what's behind you. Notice in chapter 14, verse 19. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Now what happened was, here's Israel, their camp. It took all night for the sea to part and everyone to walk 10 miles across. How long would it take you to walk 10 miles, especially if you're leading a donkey and have all your stuff on a cart? And while they're doing that, the pillar of cloud is behind them, and the Egyptians can't see through it. Everything's darkness to them, but it's light to Israel. So they're walking in perfect light. It's like having a big spotlight on where they're walking while Egypt's sitting over here in darkness. And God was taking care of what was behind them. You know, sometimes we worry a lot and we stop our forward progress because we're worried about things that are behind us. Worried about things that are behind us. Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You can't let things in the past stop you from going forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, unless there's someone you just need to get right with, there's nothing you can do with your past. There's nothing back there that you can change. There's nothing back there you can deal with. There's nothing back there that you can adjust. You've got to let God deal with that, and you've got to just keep going forward. We all are going to have regrets in life. We all are going to make mistakes, but we can't let those dictate to us for the rest of our existence on this earth. You've got to trust God with things in the past and stop looking at life through the rearview mirror and start looking through the windshield at what's ahead of you. Number seven, go forward and let God take care of what's before you. Go forward and let God take care of what's before you. Verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land. The waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And I've heard naturalist explanations as though this happens all the time. No one's seen it since, but surely it happens all the time. But I believe that God did this. And God caused that strong east wind to make the tide go back. Didn't just go back, but it was a wall on either side of them. I don't know if it looked exactly like that picture, but I think that picture catches the idea. There was a dry path. It wasn't muddy. It wasn't soggy. I mean, you can't even walk through our yard over here without going up to your ankles. And that water been under that had been that mud had been under water since the day of creation. And yet God dried it all out so that they went through and didn't even get mud on their shoes as they walked the 10, 12 miles across the Red Sea to the other side. It took them all night to do it, and God held the water back all that night. You know, sometimes we're afraid to go forward because we don't know how it's going to work out. Well, none of us knows how anything's going to work out. We might have everything planned. I got my 401k, I got my career, I got my income, the dollar's strong, and all of a sudden a plane flies into a skyscraper and all that's in jeopardy. So there's no guarantee on anything except the Word of God. We need to learn to trust Him as we go forward and trust that He can take care of what's in front of us. Number eight, go forward all the way. All the way. They didn't stop halfway through and do a U-turn. Can you imagine they're crossing through? By the way, someone sent me a funny cartoon. They said if the children of Israel were, if they crossed today, and it showed the you know, they had their arms around each other and taking selfies with the water behind them, you know, and they had the cameras up looking at them. That's how it would be today. Can you imagine if they got halfway across, 5 miles in, and they thought, but what if it crashes on us? What if we better go back? You know, you reach a certain point with just as far to go forward as it is to go back. Go all the way. They didn't stop halfway through. They didn't do a U-turn. They didn't start to go in and then turn back and go to Egypt. They went all the way through. Go forward all the way through. Number nine, go through and enjoy the victory. Look at verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. You want to see great works? You're going to have to start going forward. You can't stop every time things get tough. You just have to keep going forward. Who sees the great works? Those who go forward by faith, on purpose, one step at a time, while not complaining, letting God take care of what's behind them, letting God take care of what's before them, enjoying the adventure and going all the way through. Those are the ones who stand on the seashore and see the great victory.